Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak.
reminds me of when I was a child, and I remember people used to tell me that I would never amount to anything. I remember when people used to tell me that I remember when people used to just say that Hello. It is Sunday, June 10th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother Hakim Nuba.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
All is well, doctor. All is well. Blessings to you.
Same to you.
Thank you, sir. If you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. If you want to talk, all you have to do is press the number one button and you will be placed in queue. Amen. I always like to open up our show with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for the blessings that you have poured out on our lives. We ask right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will touch us in a glorious way. Heal our bodies, Father. Heal our minds, Father. Remove, Father, anything that tries to attack us, Father, that tries to stop us, Father, that tries to remove your anointing from us. Father God, we stand behind the cross. We hide behind the cross. Because we know, Father God, that without you, we are nothing and we have nothing. Now, Father God, I ask that you will bless all those within the sound of my voice. Bless Brother Hakim, Father. Touch him in a mighty way. Bless Sister Janet in a mighty way. Bless all those, Father God, who has helped this show, who has spoken a word of encouragement. Bless him right now. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture for today will come out of 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. And I'm just doing two verses, 7 through 9. Amen. And it reads, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is greater than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. I am excited, happy, and I hope that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. My hope and prayer is that through this broadcast, that somebody might be saved. That somebody who might be at the end of their rope would tie a knot and hold on. That God's love will penetrate that dead heart and bring it back to life. There's somebody out here that needs to hear the word. And I thank God that he is using me. The word of the week for this week is faithful. The words, actually, is faithful living. Find scriptures that support these words. And how does these words pertain to your life and Christian journey? Call in next week and let's discuss your findings. But live by the scriptures that you find this week. There will be a scripture that will touch you. I guarantee it. Hide it in your heart and watch what God does on your behalf. God is ready to move in our lives. But God cannot move if we don't move. God wants us to do his work. And when we do his work, he sends out the blessings. There's somebody here that needs to hear that. But I am so excited that this is the 17th episode of the Jubilee Affair going live. And I've decided to give back to you, the people. I want to do a giveaway starting with today's episode, and every month we will do a giveaway. For the seventh caller after the message, I will have a new Bible for you. Now, I come from a Methodist background, and we're high on education and knowledge and learning. And so I just don't want to give it to you, but I have a question for you. The question is, what is the name of who cured Saul after he was blind, after he was blinded? What is the name of the man who cured Saul after he was blinded? After the message, the seventh caller will have an opportunity to win a Bible. It will be signed by me, and it will be sent right to you. In this endeavor, may God bless you, and I look forward to your answers. And I'm not expecting y'all to start Googling now. Come on now, because I Googled the question, so I know the answer that Google gives out. So let's open up our words and find the answer ourselves. Amen. What was the name of the man who cured Saul after he was blinded? I look forward to talking to you. Pray with me. Father God, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you, I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. for my subject today, the joy I experience. Many things can be said about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some people would say that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Some would say he is a marvelous king. Some would say he is a great healer, while others may say he is worthy of all praise. I find all those claims to be accurate and true. But when I experience what I have experienced from Jesus, I get a sense of joy. When I will agree with all the claims that Jesus is what people say he is, I sum it all up as joy. Joy. It is not because of what Jesus is doing in my life currently. It is because of what he has done for me. Joy is a supernatural expression. It is the highest expression that one can feel when they think about the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of Jesus. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hope of the wicked comes to nothing." Have you ever had to deal with something? Have you ever had to face an opposition that seemed as if you would not win, or you would, you have experienced a time in your life where you knew without doubt that you would be facing death and or bondage? But all those around you were crying and worried and frustrated and irritated, and some even cursed God while others questioned God. But you had no care in the world. In fact, those who were around you who thought that you would join in and curse God and die, they found you smiling at the destruction that laid waste for you. When those who were around you would look at you, and they looked at you as if you were crazy or if you were certifiable, those around you perceived that you were going out of your mind. Those around you could not understand why you have the peace that you have. But it's not the peace that you have. It is the joy that Jesus gave you. You saw the work that Jesus did in the past, and surely that he would do it again for you in the present. In other words, you knew that Jesus would show up and show out. Romans 15:13 asserted that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture reminds the reader that you are blessed because you believe in Jesus. Though you have not seen him, you are filled with an inexpressible joy. Let me speak on that for a second. During those times, during the biblical times, during the early Christian era, many Christian people met in the end of their lives through spectacle, through mocking. Many of them were killed and burned at the stake and hung and thrown in coliseums to fight lions, tigers, and bears, and all of these things. And this was after the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and you had his disciples here trying to teach and convert this known world into the peace that surpasses all understanding. You have these disciples here trying to tell the world that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God, and that one day he will come back for all of us. And on that great day, there will be no more crying, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more tears, there will be only joy, laughter, peace, and love. He said that those of us who have not seen him but still love him, those of us who love him and have not seen him will be filled with an inexpressible joy. Joy is not simply smiling. Joy is an action word. Joy is the answer to the problem. I don't care if you are thrown down into the oven like three Jewish boys. I don't care if you are sold into slavery like Joseph, or being like Daniel, having been thrown into the lion's den. Joy is your weapon. Joy is your shield and buckler. Because you called on the name of the Lord, he shall see you with long life. And on that day, joy will be transformed into the greatest salvation, which comes through the love of Jesus. The joy that I experience is life-changing. It is groundbreaking. Isaiah 12:6 reminds me that shout aloud and sing for joy, Zion, for is the Holy One of Israel is among you. I can tell you that at the end of my day, regardless to what goes on in my life, joy is my covering. Joy is my life preserver when I fall overboard into the water. Joy is my anchor that keeps me focused when man tries to press me down. Oh, I need to say that one more time. Somebody need to hear that. Joy is the anchor that keeps me focused when all men around me tries to press me down. When you have joy, you see, I have learned that when man rejects you, it is not the end of your life. It is not the end of your journey. It is not the end of your walk with Christ. When man rejects you, it is God protecting you. I love when man thinks that they can create a setback for me, not knowing that God has already ordained, oh, come on, somebody, that God has already ordained my comeback, amen. The joy I experience is greater than anything of this world. Jesus is my great healer. Jesus is my redeemer. When sin comes upon me, Jesus will me clean, white as snow. James 1:2-3 says, consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face all trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. I'm here to let somebody know right now that it's time that you release that joy in your life. It's time that you release that peace in your life. It's time that you go forth and allow love to go forth in your life. God right now is calling you higher, but he can't work with you when you fall full of hell. God says right now to release that stuff from you and let my joy come into your life. There's somebody here right now that's listening, but you're not listening. You're listening, but you're not hearing the words that I'm speaking to you. God is knocking at your door, and God is asking, are you ready for the joy that can come into your life and that can fix everything that's going on with you? This joy can fix it, and all you have to do is accept me as your Lord, your Savior, and your Redeemer. If you want joy, I give joy. I give you that you ask that you give unto me a little bit of honor, a little praise, a little bit of adoration, and above all, give your life unto me. Live a life worthy of calling yourself a disciple. Look at everything God wants. Trust and believe in me. yourself over. I don't care if you and when you any man you have a place in your head. You may not have that you need provisions for you, but all I need you to do is to give yourself unto me and experience this joy that I give you. There's somebody right now that needs to know that Jesus is looking for the true disciples. Jesus is looking for somebody that's ready to walk the walk and talk the talk. You see, not every day in my life is peaches and creams. I go through a lot of stuff in my life, as well as all of us. But joy lifts me up. Joy keeps me at all times. I find that there are times that I can go through my day and the weight of sin is so heavy upon my shoulders that the weight of sin causes me to react in different ways. That this same weight of sin causes me to stop in my tracks. But let me tell you what I do when I find that sin so heavy upon me. When I find myself in that situation, I go into my secret closet. I go into my secret place. And when I need to get a point across, when I need to have a conversation with my Father, I fall to my knees and I give it all over to Him, because weeping may endure by night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm here to let you know that joy is my experience when I deal with the Lord. Jesus is my joy. At all times, He is my joy. I urge you, I challenge you, I dare you to find joy in the works and the teachings of Jesus Christ. I have the joy in my life. I have joy in my ministry. I have joy in my issues, situations, and circumstances. But my biggest joy comes through the salvation of Jesus Christ. That blood that He shed for me on Calvary gives me the ability to look beyond the craziness and to see the peaceful land before my eyes. Oh, yes, I can boast in the Lord. My Father owns 1,000 hills, 1,000,000 cattle. God told Abraham that as far as the eye can see, I own it. This is why I have joy. That's why my joy is inexpressible. But what say you, church? Have you experienced this joy? Have you experienced what Jesus can give you? Do you go into church every Sunday expecting your joy to go higher and higher? Or do you go to church every Sunday just to look and see what everybody's wearing? I'm here to ask you right now, are you truly a disciple? Are you truly who you say you are? Because if you are, when you go into church, when you see the church, when you walk upon the grounds, there should be something that touches your spirit, that opens up this joy in your life, where if you're dealing with fatigue, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with issues, whatever you have that's upon you, when you see that building that was made for you, where you can go and walk, it should remove it all that onto the floor at that very moment and jump into your heart. I'm here to let you know right now that somebody needs to know that that is why you're not receiving what you need to receive, because you are allowing Satan to stay in your heart in your life where Jesus was to be placed that obeyed. Jesus wants to move and fill that with joy, but you have to be willing to let Jesus in. I want everybody to experience the joy I have in my personal life. I'm an introvert. I spend a lot of time by myself. And it's not that I am angry or upset or anything like that. I like my own company. But I'm here to let you know that I still have joy. I still have Jesus. And regardless of what go on, regardless of what the doctors may say, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what you see with your natural eyes, Jesus will give you the joy. There have been so many people who have lost loved ones this week. Jesus will give you the joy. There are so many people that's hanging on to their lives. And if they know Jesus, they got the joy. While the blood is still running warm in your veins, give your life to Jesus. Join me in this joyous celebration. Join me. Experience this joy that I have. I want everybody to experience it. I would give up my life for any of you to experience this joy. That it's that important to me. I have a servitude, a servant leadership style within me, and the way that I serve God's people is the way that Jesus served. That means that my life means nothing to me if it means that somebody else can experience the happiness and the joy that God could give them. But what say you, church? Do you have the joy? Have you experienced this joy? Jesus is waiting for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He's waiting. I want you to know that there is no greater joy than to experience the love of Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. May his love, his peace, but his joy rest, rule, and abide in your hearts forever. Amen. You see, I could go on and on with this here. But I need somebody to accept Jesus. If you are listening right now, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus, as your Lord and Savior, I ask that you will bow your heads with me right now, and that you will pray this prayer with me. Praying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you live, that you died, and that you rose again on that third day. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Stay in my life. Use me as a willing vessel.
I am yours. You are mine. In Jesus' name, I confess my sins before you. I confess and I ask that you would remove my sins from me from this day forward. I love you. Forgive me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it, you sincerely meant that you wanted a change in your life, salvation now belongs to you. You are now in the body of Christ. Because you confessed it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. That means if you died right now, that you would go into a peace because you believe that Jesus is the Lord of peace. Know that this is serious. The fight for your very soul. Satan wants us to be distracted, torn down, angry and hurt all the time. But Jesus wants us to have peace and joy. It now belongs to you. May God bless you. If you do not have a church home, I urge you to find a church that has that fully follows the Bible and become a part of that church and learn and learn and learn more about God. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Hakim.
Yes, sir.
My good brother. Do we have anybody on the line that may want to give a word or testimony before we start this giveaway?
Well, we have a couple people that are on. If you guys want to come on live on air, please press the number one on your keypad. I'll be happy to bring you through.
Amen.
We have quite a few people who are listening. We would like to get you guys involved into the conversation. Please press 1 so you can share your thoughts on that amazing word that we just heard. Yeah, the pastor put his energy into that one. I felt it through the phone. So let's show our appreciation to the this amazing message and the hard work that he puts in to doing this show every week. Just press 1 if you got something to say. You may need a prayer or you may need to expound on what you just heard. It'll be very, very helpful.
Amen.
Well, I have a while we wait for the people to press 1, I have a question. What do we do? You know, I'm one of those people who've seen a lot of loss, a lot of death over the last few weeks, and I know a few people who are going through the same thing. Just turned on the news at 5 p.m. this evening, and I'm hearing about a 5-year-old kid getting shot. 5 people getting shot by 4 men in hoodies. Here in Philadelphia, so there's a lot of grieving in our city. Stabbings, shootings is commonplace here. From your perspective, how do we find a way to get them to see the joyous way, the joyous things in life, and bring them back around to looking at the light, so to speak?
I definitely would have to say that we have to start speaking positivity into our children, into our adults, even still our adults, because some adults have never heard a positive word spoken to them. you know, simply saying I love you, simply saying you're great, simply saying I believe in you, simply saying I trust that you can go further, that you can do it, that you can, you know, motivation. Instead of, we have a tendency, if we see a group of young men walking down the street and their pants may be sagging, what's the first thing we do? First thing we say, hoodlums. You know, first thing we may be thinking is, oh, they're about to go try to rob somebody. Let me hold on to my purse or let me hold on to my wallet. Instead, let us start speaking life. Start speaking blessings on those. That's a blessed group of young men. That's a blessed group of kids. You know, I believe that through the power of the tongue flows the issues of life and death. And it starts there. If we as the generation, you know, when our parents were younger, you know, my mother, you know, you guys have heard her speak on the show. She spoke very positive in our lives, you know, and regardless to what went on, you know, we always got a positive word. You know, I remember a time, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, that I got all F's on one of my report cards. And my mother wanted to half kill me, but you know what she said to me? She said, "If I snatch you, I'm going to end up having to take you to the hospital. So I'm not going to snatch you this time. But what I am going to do, I'm going to speak life into you. And I'm going to speak. And I know that you can do better. I know that you have better in you. I know that you can do all things. So I don't understand this here, and I'm not going to accept it. And so." And it changed. It brought forth a change within me, just in speaking, because I was already prepared for a whooping, but she said, "No, not this time, not this time. But we're gonna do things differently." And so I believe that if we speak words of life and wisdom to our children and to our adults, that things might be able to change for those who are. Suffering the loss, it's very hard to say or to say, well, you know, I'm going to give you a comforting word, because nobody, to be quite honest with you, would want to hear that at that moment. They're angry and they're hurt and they're frustrated. You just killed my loved ones and I want vengeance. But just know that God will take care of all of that. If you just give your life to God, give that anger to God, give that hate to God, let God handle it, and you will sit back and see the reward of the wicked. And that doesn't come overnight. That's a maturity type of thing. It comes with time. So I do believe that it all boils down to timing, speaking life, and letting God have his way.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Beautiful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have some more people who just dialed into the line. Please press the number one if you want to talk to the pastor. He's here. We have 15 minutes of the show left. Let's get some. You have some questions. You have some comments. Please call in, or you can just press the number one, and we'll be happy to put you through. You may know someone who may need a blessing, who may need a prayer. Please press number one and shout them out.
Amen.
Yeah.
I just got a few questions here, and I want to answer them to the best of my ability. It's one of them was, in trials and tribulations, when you are not moved, is that your faith, the Holy Spirit, that causes you not to worry? It is your faith that causes you not to be moved, because you know that at the end of the day, the trials and tribulations are just here for one season, and then they're going the next. I have learned that over my life, I have seen many trials and tribulations that have come at me and that have tried to destroy me. But I do believe that they only last. And you know, typically within the next few days after believing that and standing on God's word, I'm usually right. It dissolves right away. So, yes, I would say your faith. And when you hear that little still voice in you that says, do not worry, that means don't worry. Because God got you. Amen? Describe a personal relationship with God. Well, I can only describe my personal relationship with God. Everybody has their own individual walk with God. God deals with us all differently. For me, my walk with God is authentic. In my eyes, I believe that God, me and God, we talk a whole lot. You know, we talk. I pray. I read his word. I listen. God is always asking me to bless somebody. God is always asking me to help somebody. God is always showing it. It goes across my eyes when I am to bless or to help somebody. And thus I do it. For me in my house, when God is happy and pleased with me in my house, the sun comes out and it shines upon us like never before. It could be a rainy, cold day. And if I have done something to please my Father, the sun comes out and it shines upon me. Now, again, that's my personal relationship with God. In all that I do, I ask God for clarity and understanding so that I will know what I am doing and if I am doing the right thing by him and for him. Because God uses us as vessels to help others. That's why I always say that our blessings are not for us, that they're for somebody else. And God uses us to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. And surely if they see the blessings upon us that God gives us, surely they're going to want those blessings as well. So what do they do in turn? They seek God the same way that we sought God in order to receive what we got. Amen. Somebody asked about suicide. What does God say about taking your own life? Well, you know, it's difficult to say that suicide is not a sin, because God gives life and God blesses life. But I do believe that when somebody is not in their right frame of mind, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that God is close to those who are lowly in spirit and lowly at heart. So if somebody that's in their right frame of mind would not kill themselves, it's either a depression, a fear of something, or something that they don't want to deal with in life that's coming upon them real fast. We've seen it was a rumor that, like with Robin Williams, when he committed suicide, that he was, afflicted by an incurable disease. We never know. But what I do know is that anybody that goes to kill themselves is not in their right frame of mind. Thus, I will say that, yes, I do believe it is a sin, but if a person commits suicide, they're not mentally together. So, does God hold them accountable for that? I cannot say. I am not God. Only thing I can say is that I hope and pray that God will show mercy upon their soul, because their spirits and their mental state was not right. But God is with those who are lowly in spirit and lowly at heart. Brother Akim, do we have anybody on the phone that may want to give a word?
Nope, we still have folks listening. No one's pressed the number one. Come on, folks, this is your time. Oh, we have the winner. Let's bring them
Amen.
On.
Amen. All right, welcome to the Jubilee Affair. Hello, hello.
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 Welcome.
Thank you.
This is Sister Townsend.
Amen.
And I'm looking here in Nehemiah, and it says, "Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. This day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength."
Amen.
And when you have the strength and the joy of the Lord, you can't have anything any better.
Amen.
And when you continue to believe in that, you will have all the joy in the world that you could want or would want.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate those words.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else that would, as we start this giveaway, caller number 7, if you remember the question that I asked, caller number 7 would receive a brand new Bible signed by me and shipped right to you. Is there somebody here that's ready? The phone number is 646-787-1798. And the question is, what was the name of the man who cured Paul, who cured Saul after he was blinded? Caller number 7. It's now your time.
It's a great giveaway too.
Amen. Amen. And that was truly profound what Mother Townsend just said, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That it's your strength. That's why Paul said it's inexpressible. Because you can't explain joy. It's just something that is there. Something that comes after knowing, when you know, I'm gonna tell you what, in a worldly sense how I see joy. I see being prepared for a big old test, and then you get the questions, and you know all the answers. And that's that feeling that you get. It relaxes you. You may be tensed up. It relaxes you. It gives you you can breathe. Your palms start being sweaty. And you know you got it. That's what joy is to me from a worldly sense. If I can explain it to you, that's how God is with me. That's how Jesus is with us. When it comes upon you, you look and say, "Oh, that's all it is. I'm past that. Oh, that's coming at me. Forget it." Because my God gives me the armor to be able to deal with anything that comes at me. And the weakest part of the armor is my back. And guess what? God got my back, so I don't have to worry about nothing that goes on around me. That's what joy is. But be reminded that even if the things of this world overtake your life, it cannot touch your spirit. Nothing can touch your spirit.
Amen.
So I want you to remember that. Even if it touched your life, you cannot touch your spirit. Is there somebody here? Talk to me, y'all. I'm trying to give this Bible away. Is there somebody here You may not even have a Bible, but guess what? I want to give you one. Free of charge. If you're out there, let's talk.
We have another caller.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello.
Hello.
Wait a minute. I got
Welcome.
Two things going here. Hold on. Hold on. Let
All
me
right.
Cut you off on my. I got you going through my whole house.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Hold on. About to cut that off. I can't cut you off. Anyways.
Hello?
Lord, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut the phone off.
Hold
on. Okay.
Hold on. Cut you off on my, I got you going through my whole house.
Uh-oh. Amen.
Okay, I got it. Okay, I got you off. So,
okay.
And I may not, first of all, Pastor and Mother Townsend, thank you for that good word and that soft voice and that blessed presence to the network. You know, I always try to have my Bible out just so I can be highlighting stuff and looking at stuff. This is Janet, and I try to also have my tablet here too. I wanted to make sure I'm getting questions in or people asking certain things. You know, we're in a time where, you know, this week we had some suicides and people are just, you know, not able to deal with, you know, have a lot of questions in regards to that. And how do you deal with grief? They don't understand how someone's so successful or whatever the case may be to kill themselves and take their lives. So they want to know what does God have to say about that? Do you think that those people will go to heaven? Will we see them again? So on and so forth. And I saw that you answered the question.
Let me also add this in there before you move on, Sister Jenna, please. Money cannot replace happiness. Money can only keep you for that moment. So if a person may be rich and may be famous and they have a whole lot of money, but most of them are miserable, because they don't have the peace and the joy that God can give them. Those actors that you see that give God the praise because of what God has given them are the ones that can make it, and the ones that do make it.
Mm-hmm.
If you see an actor that give that give God the praise in the beginning of a speech, those are the ones that truly make it. Because they know where their bread and butter comes from. That at any given moment, that money can be removed from them, and at the end of the day, they're still rich because they believe in Jesus.
Okay.
I just want to say that. So go ahead, man.
All right,
okay,
guys, we have a 10-second warning. We have a 10-second warning.
Okay, so let me, I don't know if we have any callers, but I think I know the answer to the question. First of all, thank you for that, Pastor. And those folks that inbox me the question, I'm sure you have your answer. If not, you can definitely get with the pastor after this after his show. And if you have any additional questions to that, the answer, I think, if I'm correctly, is that the answer to your question is, and it's so obvious that it's Ananias, am I pronouncing it right? Is the one that God sent to Saul to help him with his blindness.
Amen. His name is Ananias, but I will accept that.
Okay.
Amen.
I have two very good, really teaching Bibles. I have two of them. So I would like for you to send my Bible to someone else that may need
Amen.
it.
Amen.
Okay, that don't have a Bible. So if you're listening and you don't have a good Bible, inbox me so I can have the pastor send it to you. That'd be my gift to you. I happen to have two teaching Bibles that I have. So I think I'm being blessed.
Guys, we're getting cut off. We're about to get cut off. We got to wrap
the show.
Okay.
Amen. This is the Jubilee Affair signing off.